Again, we return to Psalm 31. We looked at verse 5 this morning. We look at verse 3 this evening. Let me read verses 1 through 5 again, and then we'll go back and focus on verse 3 together. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. And we focus on verse 3 this evening. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And particularly our focus tonight is on the last part of verse 3. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. This morning's sermon on verse 5, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The message was, hand over your heart to God. Maybe we don't do that as often as we should. Maybe we often keep our hand closed tight for this main reason. Selfishness. We're really focusing more on ourself than we are God. But verse 3, we learn that because we depend on God for all we are, we should want to give him all the glory for who he is. Again, because we depend on God for all we are, we should want to give him all the glory for who he is. In your sins and in your sense of shame for your sins, you can often run from God and tease yourself and trick yourself into thinking that you're handling it properly. You can run further from God, but you're really thinking about you and your name and your shame. That doesn't glorify God's name as a vessel of his mercy. You are to follow Christ yet still to show that he is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. One of his names, as you sang in Psalm 23 this evening. To follow God's merciful lead all the way to heaven is to hallow his name. He continues to offer mercy that endures forever. He calls upon you to continue to claim it and to continue to be a vessel of it to others. And it is to hallow his name. It is to glorify his name to continue to take his mercy. To feel lost in your sins and in your shame and in your bad name, as it were, then find Christ anew. As we read in Revelation tonight, don't lose your first love. Follow Christ. Seek God's guidance for his name's sake, not for your sake. That doesn't motivate, really. That'll cause you to stop trying to follow him. Seek God's guidance for his name's sake. Desire that he would be glorified as his mercy and grace abounds over your sin. Desire that he would be seen to be a merciful, patient, kind, loving, faithful God. Keep following him. Keep seeding his guidance anew for his name's sake. When you feel like you can't approach him and you feel like you have no business even talking to him, you call upon, do this for your name's sake, Lord. Do this for your name's sake. And by his grace, you get back up on your feet and you move forward. The message for you this evening, seek God's guidance for his name's sake. You are sheep. You are sheep who need your good shepherd constant guidance. You are sheep who need your good shepherd's constant guidance. And you remember what we know about sheep. Regularly in need of being rescued. It's ridiculous, frankly, how often they get themselves into trouble. Regularly in need of redirection. So they don't get themselves sick, and so they don't get themselves killed. Lead and guide me, he says to God. Lead and guide me. He's talking to God as a shepherd. Lead and guide me. David is expressing his complete dependence on God to stay on the narrow and right way and survive. God, lead me and guide me. I completely need you. I will destroy myself if you don't. He's expressing how sheep often need, as we his sheep need, to be put back on our feet and to be put back on the right path. We just need him to do this all the time. We're sheep. He's the shepherd. He can do this. That's what shepherds do. A shepherd does these kinds of things for his sheep. He keeps saving them from their own pitfalls. He sets their feet on the rock of himself. Therefore, in the first part of the verse, he says, therefore, well, the first part of that second half, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Because of something he says just before, lead me and guide me. For your own name's sake, that's a reason. But just before he says, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Because you are my rock and my fortress. Because you are my good shepherd. Lead me and guide me. For thy own name's sake, that I may show that you are my rock, that you are my fortress, that you are my good shepherd. And then the beginning of the verse, for thou art my rock. He already asks about this in verse 2. Lord, bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. And he says, because you are my rock and my fortress. You are my rock and my strong house. Therefore, for your own name's sake, lead me and guide me, O my good shepherd. I need you to do this. Look down with me at verse 23 in the psalm. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. The Lord preserveth the faithful. You see, this is the good shepherd. He preserves. He doesn't lose any, Christ says. I don't lose any of my sheep. Any of the sheep the Father has given me, I don't lose. He's a great, faithful shepherd. And so we call on him to lead us and guide us because we are unfaithful sheep who constantly stray, and we need our good shepherd. And we're thankful that he's the good shepherd who simply leads us in paths of righteousness. And in Psalm 23, verse 3, that's what we sang tonight. You know, in Psalm 31, verse 3, we're asking God to lead us and guide us. In Psalm 23, verse 3, it says he does. He's the good shepherd. So he does lead us in paths of righteousness. And that's where we want to be going. We want to be going on the paths of righteousness. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 31, thinking of that. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. You see, to cause us to walk on the paths of righteousness is to deliver us. Deliver us in the righteousness of Christ. Christ is our righteousness. The righteousness of God revealed to us. That's the gospel. Christ is the way, the truth, the life. He leads us on the narrow way that leads to life. So keep calling out to the good shepherd to lead and guide you. You have to. You can't continue on the proper way without him. You need the good shepherd. Keep praying, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And what else? Why should I pray that? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory. Do this because it would glorify you, Lord. Lead me in the path of righteousness that you would be seen again to be the good shepherd, that you would be glorified. Just like Psalm 23, verse 3, he leads us into paths of righteousness. Why? Same thing there. For his name's sake. He is pleased to glorify himself and how he reveals himself by his names relating with the church, such as the Lord is my shepherd. He leads us into paths of righteousness for our, for his name's sake. Yes, it is for our good, but ultimately it's to glorify him, our chief end, to glorify him and yes, to enjoy him. Why do we ask him to lead and guide us? Because we need him, because we'll go astray without him, but more importantly, to ascribe him glory for his grace. When you seek God's shepherding, you show that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. You are sheep who need your good shepherd's constant guidance. And when you seek his guidance, when you seek God's shepherding, you show that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. It almost goes without saying, the sheep show the importance of the shepherd. Without the shepherd, they'll be scattered. They'll get sick. They can't take care of themselves. They'll get lost. They'll die. The sheep, being preserved by the shepherd, show how much they need him. They show they cannot survive without him. His constant care and sacrifice for these mangy, ornery animals just shows how great a shepherd he is. Should we continue to sin? God forbid, nonetheless, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And he shows how gracious and merciful he is as he shepherds us. So lead and guide me again for thy name's sake. For your name's sake. Do this for you, Lord. And that's something you and I need to be thinking more about in our prayers. Do this for you, Lord. Don't do it for me so much as do it for you. Do this to glorify you. How often do we pray that really? How often are we really just asking and really mainly for things and stuff for us, let alone asking for things for us that God wills for us? But most importantly, how often are we really asking that it would be to glorify him, that it would show his glory? Thy name's sake means let me give a good reputation of you. May you have a great reputation. May your reputation increase as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, the Ancient of Days, Abba Father. May you be honored by showing who you are, leading and guiding us, because everyone will observe and recognize God's hand must be in this. They'd get themselves killed otherwise. How do they continue on? How do they continue to make it? Because God is leading and guiding us. As God leads and guides saved sinners, he displays his merciful goodness. And we see that in the Psalm, verse 7, look with me. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. And he talks about his adversaries a lot too. As you deliver me from my adversities, as you deliver me from the hands of my enemies, I will be glad and I will rejoice, and that will be a witness to our deliverer. Look at verse 16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Oh, cause your face to shine on us and save us. Don't save us really so much for us. Save us for your mercy's sake. Show that you are a merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Show who you are by giving us mercy. Let people talk about what a king of clemency you are. May you give yourself a witness in your mercy to us. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. How great is thy goodness. Show how good you are, O Lord, that we would be able to say to others, taste and see that God is good. Show your goodness in how you are especially good to us in special ways. Verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, For he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. May God be blessed. May he be praised. Why? Because he has shown himself to be marvelously kind to me. That word, that marvelous kindness is hesed. We've studied that a lot. It's that covenant loyalty God has to his people because he's sworn himself to his people through the covenant of grace. And so we thank him that for his hesed, he just is marvelously kind to us. And people can see that. Verse 16, let's return to that. Make thy face to shine upon us. That is such a familiar idea. O Lord, for your mercy's sake, let your face shine upon us. Smile on us. Let your light shine upon us. He's asking for God's face to shine upon them. And that ought to draw your mind to the very blessing he gives in the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. But particularly, may the Lord let his face shine upon you. Shine upon you. Well, if the Lord is letting his face shine upon the church more and more, we will more and more be what he calls us to be in the Sermon on the Mount, the light of the world. And that's what Psalm 67 is thinking about that we're now having for our psalm to close our evening services. Lord, bless and pity us. Cause your face to shine upon us. But why? Well, that psalm is chock full of requests that God would do this so that the watching world would be converted, would say, I want that. I want that. But more than anything, to praise you, that people would praise you, that all the nations would praise and bless you, Lord God. Shine your face upon us. A little while ago, we were thinking about this idea of praying for Christ's name's sake. Daniel 9, verses 17 to 19. Daniel is crying out to God for mercy and deliverance for the people of God in dispersion. And he's asking for God to do this for what reason? Simply for his own name's sake. It's a refrain through those verses. For thy sake, for thy name's sake. And particularly why? Because your people bear your name. Because we bear your name as Christians. So, Lord Christ, deliver us, not because we deserve it. We constantly show we never deserve it. Lord, deliver us for your mercy's sake, for your name's sake, because we bear your name. He is essentially saying, Lord, deliver your people for your own global reputation, your own international reputation. Because, beloved, here is your reality, verse 10. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed. My strength faileth because of what? Mine iniquity, that is my sins, my transgressions, my breaking the law of God. My bones are failing me, my strength are failing me. Because of my sins. So again, Lord, lead and guide me for thy name's sake. I don't have anything to give to you. My name means nothing. My righteousnesses are filthy rags. I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies. I simply ask that you would do this for you. Because you didn't even have to save me. You didn't have to love me. You chose me. Let me choose to respond and just want to give you glory all my days. Do these things, Lord. Help me keep going. Help me get up and try again for your name's sake. I need you to do this for me because I'm weak and sinful, but ultimately do it for your name's sake, my Savior. You need verse 3 because of verse 10. O Lord, guide, lead me, but do it for your name's sake, because I have no works to put before you, no merit, no good name in and of myself. So I ask that you do it for your name's sake. And God wishes to glorify his name. This is a prayer that he's pleased to answer. So that you don't stray further, concerned about your own name, So you don't stray further thinking that you can't ask for God to lead you or guide you any further. Be motivated to follow mercy to give glory. Lord, you just say, follow me. Help me to drop everything and follow you to exalt the name of Christ. You'll often feel paralyzed to move forward, right? You'll feel paralyzed to move forward if you focus on yourself. If you struggle with what you find yourself going through and you struggle to come before God and you say, I don't dare ask you again. I don't dare approach you again. I'll keep a distance. And you think that's somehow showing that you have a holy, righteous heart and you're humble. It doesn't. It's proud because it's not about you. Salvation is not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Christ Jesus. So as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you continue to show that his name is Jesus because he saves his people from their sins. Keep seeking gracious guidance from God, not so much for yourself, although of course you benefit. Keep seeking gracious guidance from God, because if you seek it for yourself, and for your own name, for your own purposes, just to end in of yourself, that'll slow you down because you know you can't really ask that of God. You don't deserve it. Instead, keep moving forward, keep getting up, keep following Jesus by seeking him, trusting anew you will find him. Seek God's guidance for his name's sake. Ask him to continue to lead you for his name's sake. And you can trust the good shepherd will go get you and bring you back to the fold again. Let us pray. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. But unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? And we close praying as you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Beloved, let us turn to Psalm 67 and praise the Lord once more before we receive his benediction. Psalm 67 on page 133 of your Psalter. Please stand. Da, 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 da. Lord, bless and pity us. Shine on us with thy face, that the earth thy way and nations all may know thy saving grace. Let shall yield.
Our God shall blessings send. God shall us bless, man shall him fear unto earth's utmost end.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.